Today is Wednesday, February 10th, Rosh Chodesh Adar Aleph. This is the Women's Chumash here, and we're at the end of Perek Yud Gimel. Okay, Rabotai. I'd like to dedicate the shir Le'ilui Nishmat Roiza Bat Yosef Yehuda Mindel, Mrs. Helen Hochberg, mother of Suri Kamenetsky, and a Rafua Shalema for Moshe Tzvi Ben Chayesara. Okay, we are at the end of Perek Yud Gimel, having seen that after Lot leaves, HaKadosh Baruch Hu awards Avram the land, and I want to just bring in today, welcome again, Professor Breuer, who has an incredibly interesting theory on this topic that we have spent the last couple of weeks learning, namely the split between Avram and Lot. At first blush, we understood that the split was simply a quarrel amongst shepherds because there was insufficient grazing land. We also implied that Avram had to split from Lot because HaKadosh Baruch Hu had told him, Lech Lecha, you're the only one to move from go alone from Haran to Eretz Canaan. And as long as he was traveling together with Lot, God did not speak to him and award him Eretz Kena'an. So if you take the sheet, page number one, for a minute, we will see an interesting theory of Professor Breuer. Now, we had seen in the middle of Perek Yud Gimel a lengthy Ramban. When Avram went down to Mitzrayim as a result of the famine, the Ramban wrote, he stated, Shekol she'ira le'avot ye'era le'banim. Everything that happened to the avot will ultimately happen to their children as well. The Torah gives very sparse information about the Avot. There are only an episode or two about various Avot. Yitzchak is hardly anything about. So the Ramban theorizes that every single event is recorded for a specific reason, because it will give you a glimpse as to what will ultimately happen. So Breuer, Professor Breuer, accepts that premise and wants to understand, why does the Torah make such a big deal about the split between Lot and Avram? So when you read it in the third grade, it's only for one reason, because they couldn't get along together. There wasn't sufficient grazing ground. But that doesn't seem to have much implication to future. So here, Breuer will come up with his theory. I bracketed it for you in the middle of page 246. It only goes on for 10 pages, but we will look at two of them. Vidome, it appears to me, Shekol hadvarim ha'ele remuzin b'sefer bereishit. All of these ideas that appear in Sefer Bereishit have some type of significance. Lot nifrad me Avraham. Lot separates from Avraham. We read that. Yishmael me Yitzchak. We will learn at the end of Parshat Vayera, the next Parsha, that Yishmael is separated from Yitzchak by his mother, who sends him out into the desert. Esav separated from Yaakov. How did that happen? Rivka says, I know what's about to happen. your brother misnachem lehargecha at the end of Parsha Toldo. I know that your brother is conspiring to kill you. So there is a split of two brothers. V'hachok shehevi lidei pilugim ha'ele. Whatever the reasons for the split of these three relatives, hevi gam lidei hitpalgut shiftei Rachel mishiftei Leah. You want to know why the Torah reports this information? Because later on there is going to be a split amongst the children of Yaakov. The children of Rachel and the children of Leah are going to be separated from one another. Who might they be? You know this, Rabotai. Who will have been split from whom? Yosef and Binyamin from the rest of the brothers. Yosef by virtue of being sold into slavery. Binyamin by virtue of the fact that Yosef demands that he come and spend time with him in Mitzrayim. Ubisofar shel davar, and at the very end, Pileg et Yisrael l'shnei batim. Later on, there is an even more exaggerated, more severe split. Not two brothers splitting from one another, but two tribes. Two tribes. Two different kings. There is a Melech of Yisrael and a Melech of Yehuda. Just read through Sefer Melachim and you'll see it. That's correct. Ulam, kol kera hana'aseh b'kerav Yisrael. Every split that took place within the household of Israel, sofo lehit'achot. Does anybody know what the word mit'acheh means? It's a halacha, it's borrowed. He borrows this halacha from a law of Hilchos Avelus. When somebody passes away, a relative of yours, one of the obligations is to what? To rip kriya. So the halacha speaks of, are you permitted to be mit'acheh? You get up from shiva, are you allowed to restitch it together? That's called mit'acheh. So the halacha is, on father and mother, you are not permitted to do so. You can't sew it again. You have to leave it as a berged karua for the rest of your life. And for other relatives, after the Avelus, either Shiva or Shloshim, you're allowed to sew it together. So he uses this idea as a word, sofo lehit'achot. They will be woven together again. Right, like it's something like achim. That is correct. I'm not saying it's not connected. I'm not a grammarian, but it might be related to that. And as long as the kera remains, you feel the pain. You feel the pain. I don't know about what you have done, but the shirt that I did when I ripped kriya from, I have that in my closet. When I open it up, you know, it brings a little tears to me. Because, what? You're allowed to throw it out. But if you don't throw it out, the purpose, the question, see, in the time of the Gemara and the Mishnah, when they're talking about people didn't have many shirts. It's not like today, they throw it out, buy another one. They had one or two shirts, and when you had to rip it, that made a very big difference. That's why the halacha doesn't say just buy another one. It says that for most relatives, you're allowed to restitch it. So here too, v'hit paisut Yosef im echav b'mitzrayim. The appeasement of Yosef with his brothers in Mitzrayim. Who remembers Yosef's little speech at the end of his life? What was his speech? Pop said, let's not fight. Pop said, I should not take any retribution against you. That's what Pop said. Pop never said anything of the sort. And the Gemara learns out that Mimnei HaShalom, you're allowed to lie. So Yosef lied through his teeth, saying, brothers, don't worry, I have the power to take revenge, and I'm telling you, I'm not going to do so. So this hitpaisut, the appeasement of Yosef with his brothers, einena ela remez. Because everything in Sefer Bereishis is what? Is a remez. So what is this a remez for? Lehitpaisut haleumit hagidola. To the appeasement of the great Am Yisrael. Eventually the split between Yehuda and Yisrael will be what? Will be forgotten, and they will be merged into a nation of 12 tribes. No more fighting. Ha'atida le'ached et kol shiftei Yisrael ve'lahapoch otam la'am echad. And he cites Yechezkel, which is selected as the haftarah of Parshat Vayigash, so appropriate for the haftarah of Parshas Vayigash, because Vayigash is the brothers quarreling, Yehuda with Yosef. So he writes, "V'chein atamotze b'Yosef Yechezkel, hanavi nitztavasham." The prophet was commanded, "Lokachat shnei etzim, two pieces of wood." Hamisamlim, that symbolize et Yehuda the Ephraim. Ulikarev otam echad el echad le'etz echad. And to bring the two pieces of wood together and create the impression that what? That they are one big piece of wood. Ad shiyu le'achadim biyado. Miraculously, the two pieces of wood joined together. And lo and behold, Yechezkel had one piece of wood in his hand. V'zehu haremez hanirmaz lo al yedei kach. This is the remez that has been symbolized. B'mizgeret olam hashniyot ne'elatz Yisrael lehitpaleg l'shnei batim. Within the framework of what? The second world. What does he mean, the second world? What? He could mean Mashiach, but then that's the opposite of what he's saying. He's saying that the second world is the second after Am Yisrael enters into Israel. One time span is the Jewish life before they get into Israel. The second life, the second world, sort of to say, is Jewish life after they get into Israel. Well, they split. Ach, ho'il ve'elohei Yisrael, hu echad u'shmo echad. Since the God of Israel is one and always will remain one, gam asidim gam Yisrael atidim lihiyot ko echad. So too, one day, it's hard to imagine, that there will be some degree of unity amongst Am Yisrael going forward. There will be. Vehit palgut, and the separation, yichola lihiyot rak tofa'a ara'it b'Yisrael. Separation can only be what? A temporary phenomenon. It can't last forever. It can't last forever. Somebody once said, I forgot who it was, that when you are mispalel for shalom in Eretz Yisrael, you should use the following formulation. Shalom bi Yisrael and shalom li Yisrael. There should be peace in Israel from our Arab neighbors, and shalom li Yisrael, there should be peace amongst ourselves. We shouldn't be killing each other every day about every stupid issue that people have to fight about. They have to fight about.
Rabbi,
yes.
Could he have been thinking, I hate to say it, but that the Arabs and the Israelis would come together?
He didn't say that. He did not say that. He said only Am Yisrael will come together.
That's a miracle in itself.
That is a miracle in itself. That is correct. So then we will not have people who scorn and abuse Chayalim who are protecting our very lives. We won't have that anymore. They will appreciate and recognize that the reason why they can live the lifestyle that they have chosen is because the soldiers are protecting them. I don't know what they're thinking now. Imagine there was no Tzava Hagana LiYisrael. You think there would be Me'ir Sha'arim? It wouldn't be anything. It's just hard to imagine how somebody cannot appreciate and recognize what at least Tzavada, forget about, you don't want to recognize the government, but at least Tzavaga and Ali Yisrael, that's protecting you and allowing you to sit and learn and do whatever you want for the rest. It's crazy. V'sofa lihit bater. This division eventually will come to an end. Mipnei achdut Hashem Ushmo. Because God's name is unified. Now, this idea has enormous support in Midrashic literature. Does anybody know the name of God that is recorded? You have a Chumash, open it up. It's the last Pasuk in Parshas B'Shalach. So it is the end of chapter 17. The very end of chapter 17. The topic at hand is the battle with Amalek. We read these 9 psukim every Yom Kippur. Every Purim. Every Purim, we read these 9, the last 9 psukim of Parshat Peshat. Vayavo Amalek, Vayilachem im Yisrael berefidim. Ki milchama lashem ba'amalek. What? Ki yad al kase ya. Milchama lashem ba'amalek midor dor. What does that mean? Kiyad al kaseya. The kisei of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is reflected by the name of God, Yud-Kei. That's the name of Yah is half of Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. So the Gemara comments, Ein Shmo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shalem Ad Shimachez Zaro Shel Amalek. When the haters of Israel, symbolized by Amalek, will be obliterated, that's when God's name will now be complete. So once God's name become complete, automatically what has to happen? There has to be unity amongst Am Yisrael. But as long as there is God's name is half, only Yud-Heh, that's it. Why? Because the enemies from without are giving us trouble. Then there will not be any unity within Am Yisrael either. V'nimtza, last line on this page, she'ota achdut ideali. This ideal unity, ha'atida lehit galot b'milu'a, that will ultimately come to its full expression. Rak, next page 2. Le'atid lavo, only when in the future, Yemot HaMashiach, Nikeret B'Yisrael Kvar Ba'olam Hazeh. It is possible that it should be recognized in this world even before the Messianic era. We do not need the Messianic era to exhibit unity amongst ourselves. What do we need for the Messianic era? That there should be peace and harmony between ourselves and what? And our enemies. Because I'm going to give you Rambam's perspective. Nobody else's. Everybody has their own little theory because nobody knows what they're talking about. What's going to happen to Yemot HaMashiach? Nobody knows. So Rambam writes, the only thing that will happen is that the nations of the world will observe Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. That is the Messianic era. Nothing's going to change. I'm going to have to go to work. You're going to have to go to work. You're going to have to make dinner. Nothing's going to change. Nothing. Nothing. Right? Giants are going to hopefully win a Super Bowl one day. Nothing's going to change. Only there will be a compliance of Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. Then we can be their best friends. Why? Because they won't kill us. They won't rob from us. Keep your front door open. Nothing to worry about. Gam b'sha'a sh'adayin hashniyot sholetes u'mafleget et ha'umot v'gam et Yisrael. Even at a time when there is still divisive factors for the rest of the world and divisive factors for Am Yisrael, it is theoretically possible for Am Yisrael to unite together at this particular time. V'nira, and Professor Breuer continues, Shedvarim eile remuzim gam bimidrash chachamim al ha'avanim Shiyaakov shachav aleihon b'tzeito licharan l'shita achat. What happens? It says in beginning of Parshat Vayetze, Vayikach me'avnei hamakom vayasem mirashotav. He took from the stones of the location and he put them neath on his head. Lakach yudbet avanim. He took exactly 12 stones. V'kivein shenit achu yud bet avanim zulazu. Why did he take exactly 12 stones to make a pillow? Because he knew that he was going to have 12 tribes. He knew that there was going to be what? Lots of division and fighting amongst their ranks. And he was hoping. Yada shehu ma'amid yud bet shvatim. And as a result, he was hoping that they should join together. Ulishita achat, and according to a second opinion in the Midrash, lokach shtei avanim. He didn't take 12 stones; he took 2 stones. V'kevan shenit achu shnei avanim zulazu. As soon as the 2 stones merged into one, Yada Yaakov nu shelo yetze mimenu zera pasul. He knew that what will come out of him. Don't forget, at this particular time, he's not married yet. He didn't even meet Rachel. This is at the beginning of Parshas Vayetze. He's still running around from Lavan. He did not get married. So this is a sign that he will what? Have a wholesome family. Kiderech sheyatza me'Avraham v'Yitzchak, different from that which had emerged from Avraham and Yitzchak. Each one of them only succeeded with 50% of the children who they had from their primary wife. V'harei kan remez barur l'kol ma she'nitba'er la'el. This is a real hint to everything that I just explained. Yaakov, what?
That's very nice. Mine's like that, right?
Of course. It's always like that. It's always like that. Everybody's writing in hindsight on the Chumash. Yes. Yoda, Yaakov Yoda, Shasidim Banav Lehit Paleg Lishne Masa Shvatim. O Lishne Batim. Yaakov knew that his children are going to split into 12 tribes. Or to 2 houses afterwards. Hashonim zeh mizeh v'chalukim zeh el zeh, that are very different from one another. Ulif amim af milchamim zeh bazeh. They will even fight against one another. And think of episodes in Tanakh. When did one tribe attack another tribe? What?
Binyamin,
100%. Umibchina zu, Ein hu yachol liot shoneh be'avotav. And as a result, the children can't be any different from the parents. Sheheemidu umot shonot hachalukot zu al zu v'nilchamot zu bazu. Grandparents, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, they all what? Gave birth to children, and their children, what do? They attack us. So, even Yaakov's children attack one another as well. Ahu kiva, Yaakov hoped, lirot et hapele hagadol shel achdut Yisrael. What an expression. What a way of saying it. Hapele hagadol, the great wonder of Jewish unity. Wow. The omeid binigud charif. And unity stands in powerful contrast lemin hago shel olam. The world doesn't operate that way with unity. Be'avotav nitkayem chok hapilug. With the forefathers, the rule of division was dominant. Ulefikach beitam shari b'chibura v'siyem b'piruda. Initially was together, but what happened at the end to each one of the avot? The end was separation. V'ilu bo, but with Yaakov, the hope was yitkayem chok et vahev besufa hanoheg rak bi Yisrael bilvad olafikach beito shari bepiruda. Starts off fighting and killing each other, but v'siyem b'chibura, eventually came to an agreement with one another. And then he finishes up with something incredibly powerful. V'efshar shelekach nitkavu chachamim gam b'midrasham al pegishat Yaakov v'Yosef b'Mitzrayim. This will also help explain the encounter between Yaakov and Yosef when they had not seen each other for 17 years or 22 years, and they finally meet with one another. The pasuk says, I'll just tell you the pasuk without having to look it up, Vayipol al tzavarav vayevk. He fell on his shoulders and he cried. So every parshan, Rashi, the Ramban, Ibn Ezra, says, apparently only one of them cried, because it's the singular tense. Not vayiplu al tzavarav. Normally, after an encounter of a parent and child, they would both fall on each other's shoulders and they would both cry. Only one of them cried. Now the text doesn't say which one cried. The Medrash that he will quote is that Yosef fell on Yaakov's shoulders and cried. Yaakov did not at all. Which is the shocking choice. Why is it the shocking choice if I had to select one and not the other? Why is that the shocking?
Decades crying over.
Good. Say it even sharper. Because the love of a parent unto a child is far greater than the love of a child unto a parent.
Because of the giving in the beginning.
Yes. Kids, change my diapers. What else did they do for me? What? Good. That's correct. Good. So then it's all the more reason who should have cried?
Yaakov.
Because he should have been shot. Let me just finish his thought. So the Medrash which he quotes is, it's a very famous Medrash. Yaakov lo nafal al tzavarei Yosef v'lo nashko. Yaakov did not fall on Yosef's shoulders and did not cry. Because he was saying Shema at that time. Now,
wouldn't he cry when he's saying Shema?
Trust me, it was not that he was worried about Zman Kriya Shema. That just at that second, the time to fulfill the mitzvah, that was not the issue. There are many interpretations of this midrash, but let's see how he uses it. Ve'efshar shezu kavanat hadvarim. Maybe this is what it meant. B'chol otam chafbeit shanim sheYosef ne'edar mibeit aviv. For all those 22 years that what? That Yosef is absent from his house. Haya Yaakov mityaser al hakera shepileget bito. He now feels that what has happened, the rip, the division between his children is going to be a permanent one. It's 22 years I haven't heard from Yosef. Shaharei Yosef nifrat me'achiv kiderech shelot nifrat me'Avraham. Just like Lot separated from Avraham. Did they ever get back together? No. Yishmael me'Yitzchak. Did they ever get back together? No. Esav miYaakov. Did they ever get back together? No. So he, Yaakov, thinks that the split between Yosef and his brothers is a permanent one. Ach ata, but now, hu haya eid lehit paisut hagedola sheben Yosef ben Echad. He can see firsthand, he can be off a testimony to what? To the getting along. Because even when Yosef revealed himself, there was no acrimony, no fighting between him and his brothers. Kol shiftei Yisrael chazru liyot nefesh achat. All of the tribes of Israel now became unified. So how did Yaakov thank God for that? Hashem Echad. He knows that what? He knows that his children are going to reflect a quality of God. What quality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu does he have? That he is one, never split. Hashem Echad. So at the time when he is about to what? Witness a reunification of his children who have been fighting for so many years, before he expresses his own personal emotion, he offers Shevach and Hoda'at HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the way he does so is by the reciting the Shema with its emphasis on Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Hashem Echad. Beautiful thought. A beautiful thought by Professor Breuer. Beautiful thought. Yeah. Just as an aside, just as you know, because even though I'm not sure when we will be getting to Parshas Vayigash, to repeat that particular medrash, the Rav had a different explanation as to why he recited the Shema. Different explanation. The Rambam writes at the beginning of Hilchot Kriya Shema, that there are three themes in the midst of the Shema. Three themes. One, Yichud Hashem, describing that God is one. Hashem Echad. Two, Ahavat Hashem, professing our love. V'yahavta es Hashem Elokecha. How do you do that? That's not my discussion now. Then listen to number three, says the Rambam. V'talmudo, and the study of Torah, teaching and study, Shehu ha'ikar ha'gadol. That is the most important of the three. Shehakol talui bo. Because everything else, knowing about that God is one and loving God, can only be shared with your children if what? If you know. If you've never been taught, then there's not going to be any yichud Hashem nor avat Hashem. So the Rambam writes that the most important fundamental idea within Shema is teaching. Yaakov knew he had a responsibility to teach 12 children. No, 13, excuse me. 13 children. That was his responsibility. To educate and make sure that 13 children would now be loyal, to the Misorah of Avraham and Yitzchak. For the last 22 years, he was crying that he never had the opportunity to complete Yosef's education. Because he was ripped away when he was 17 years old. And how much does a punk of 17-year-old know? They think they know everything. Eventually they wise up a little and they realize they know nothing. So now that Yaakov sees Yosef, he will once again have the opportunity to teach Yosef. So he recites the Shema, not because of the Pasuk of Hashem Echad, of Shinantam Levanecha V'dibarta Bam. That's what the Rav once said. What?
He's doing the same thing he did 20 years before that, and counting on Yosef to carry on.
Yes.
No,
it's not that he didn't teach his other children in Mitzrayim. In fact, we know that he established the yeshiva for that reason. Ves Yehuda Shalach Lefanav Goshna. He wanted, he knew he had to have a yeshiva. Yes. Yes. According to the Gemara in Pesachim, Yaakov responded when all 12 of his children said, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, in his deathbed, to assure the fact that they were remaining loyal to his tradition, he responded, Baruch Shein Kivod Malchuso Le'olam Bo'ed. That is Kerem. So that's why the Gemara raises the question, should we recite Baruch Shein Kivod Malchuto Le'olam Bo'ed or not? Well, Yaakov said it. But Moshe Rabbeinu didn't say it. In Va'et Hanan, where Shema is written, there's no Baruch Shein. So what is the Gemara's compromise? Say it quietly. That's where it came back to practice, to say it quietly. Okay, Lama Gein Vayta. But it was worth coming today to hear Professor Breuer. When I see something like this, I have to teach it to you. That's what I decide what I... How does I, any share that I give is because it resonated with me. If it doesn't resonate with me, how am I going to teach it? So, Lama Gein Vayta. Now, to wind up the unit of Perek Yud Gimel before we start Perek Yud Aleph, please open up to page number 3 and let's see the holy words of the Ramban. I bracketed it for you. The Pasuk had said, after God tells him that I'm going to give you the land, ki lecha ulezaracha etnene ad olam, in Pasuk Tetvav, then in Pasuk Yud Zayin, he tells him, kum hitalech ba'aretz la'arka urachba, ki lecha etnena. So let's take a look at the Ramban. Kum hitalech ba'aretz la'arka urachba. Yitachein, it is possible, says Rabbeinu Moshe ben Nachman, shezeh reshut kiritzono. It means that it is possible that this is not a command, but an option. An option. Avram, go wherever you would like. You want to live in Hebron? Be my guest. You want to live in Rechavia? Be my guest. You want to live in Haifa? Be my guest. You want to live in Bnei Brak? Be my guest. Kum Hitalech, wherever you want to go, no problem. You won't have any problems. That's one possibility, says the Ramban. That this phrase, Kum Hitalech Barat, is not a tzivui, but is reshut kirtzano. Omar lo, God said to him, Bechol asher tirtze lo lechet ba'aretz, leich, wherever you want to go, be my guest. And shockingly, he didn't go to Rechavia. Shockingly. That's where you're going, right? Maybe Baca or something like that, but for me, it's Rechavia, of course. Right around the Groz Shul, somewhere around there. Right? Be in the heart of town. Ki eheya imach, wherever you choose to go, I promise I'll be with you. Ushmarticha meira'at hagoyim. Don't think it's so easy to walk in and tell somebody who's been living here for 1,000 years, this is mine.
Yeah.
Not very easy. So God promises him, I will protect you. Ki lecha etnena. Ki lomar shelecha tihiyeh. Wherever you decide to reside, it will be yours.
What?
I understand. This is not politic. We don't talk politics. Yes.
Why is Ramban saying that? What is the point of his saying it if it says kum hit male?
Good. You tell me what's bothering the Ramban. Why did the Ramban make a statement, as I told you 8,000 times? No commentary says anything unless there is a difficulty in the text. What is bothering the Ramban?
Is this the same idea as look north, south, and the discrepancy between what you can see is yours? Is he telling him, is he trying to resolve, it's not as far as you can walk, it's all yours?
Could be.
What do you
could
mean?
Be. Could be.
Does he have to act on the...
Could be. Give me something else. Think about it if you translate it literally. Tell me what question you are going to ask. If you translate it literally...
He's already been to land.
In what?
To walk, you have to get up.
In order to walk, you have to get up.
Is a place that he doesn't go to, doesn't walk?
Oh, and is it possible to walk across the length and breadth of Israel? Is it really possible?
That's what I was saying. Yeah. Looking, no. The same thing with the looking.
Right? Nobody can do that. So if what? If the land being given to him is contingent upon what? Fulfilling of a command, kum hitalech ba'aretz, we're going to wind up with 15 feet of fair property.
And there we are.
How far can you walk? Okay? Everybody knows that the size of Medinat Yisrael is the size of the state of New Jersey. Good. So you walk from Trenton all the way to Mawa. Let's see how long it's going to take. Try it. So therefore the Ramban knows this is not a tzivui. Yes. At least in the first interpretation. Yeah.
It doesn't say left bar. It says hitaleh. Because otherwise, it is a little strange to use that word.
That's an interesting observation. I don't know any grammarians amongst you. You must have some. What does it mean? Hitalech ba'aretz. What does it mean?
Cause yourself
to walk around. What a strange thing. You know something? I didn't even see anybody comment about that. That's really good. I don't have a good answer. Should have said kum lech ba'aretz. Go walk. Excellent point. Have to ask some of the grammarians in the shul. Yes.
It's a guarantee now, the Zarecha Ad Olam. God is giving that to you. But when you say Kum Hitalech, you yourself embrace it. There's something about that not only that's been given, but Kum Hitalech is a certain action that you have to take.
Good.
To accept that.
Excellent. Excellent. Excellent.
But he doesn't
know. So, hold on. He's going to answer that question in 2 seconds. V'im hi mitzvah. If you would like to reject my suggestion and interpret the phrase the way it appears to be interpreted, the way it should be interpreted, what does kum mean? Get up and go. That is a tzivui, correct. Mitzvah sheyelech ba kol orka v'rachba lehachzik b'matanato kasher pirashti. If it means, like I said elsewhere, that this is what? A way in which Avram will acquire the land by walking around it. Lo nitztave la'asot zeh miyad. In this place it doesn't say that what? He has to do it right this minute. When can he do it? Take his time. Today he can go southward. Tomorrow he can go, 6 years from now he can go eastward. Then he can go westward. V'hinei also came. It is actually true that Avram ultimately went in all four directions. Ki atah haya b'mizrach, he was now in the eastern portion of the land. V'achakach halach el eretz plishtim, then he went to eretz plishtim. We will read about that in Parshat Vayera. Shehu b'ma'arav, v'hine kiyem ha-mitzvah b'chayav. He fulfilled the mitzvah in the course of his lifetime. What? I don't know. I know how far south he went. Be'er Sheva. I don't know how far north he went. What?
He went to Be'er Sheva and Mitzrayim.
Correct. That's all further south. That's a good question. I don't know how far north he went. Moseying around.
Yeah.
Interesting. It's a good point. Again, very good. Yes.
I think also here God gives him land, so I think that thought was, okay, I have land and I'm just going to settle and I'm going to stay put and just, you know, have this nice piece of land. And he's like, no, that's not the kind of life you're going to be having. You're going to have to travel around. Again, here he gets there and he doesn't get to have that sense of
settlement.
So,
good. Very good.
So it could be referring to the future of Bnei Yisrael. They're going to be outside in Galut.
Right.
And you have to get back to
them. Yes. V'tam lecha ulezaracha. And the reason why it says it in the previous pasuk, not this one, in Tet Vav. Why does it say, Ki lecha ulezaracha ad olam, shehechazik b'matana me'achshav, Rahanchila lezarecha. He received the land as a gift in order to bequeath it to whom? To his children. Kimosha amru rabbeinu, Yerusha hi lohem me'avotehem. The land is an inheritance from their father. So it's automatic. Once father owns it and then father passes away, children do not have to make any legal acquisition of that property any longer. It's automatically theirs. Automatic. V'alderech ha'pshat, if you're asking me the simple meaning of this, yitachein, shiyeh moshel aleha, unesi Elohim b'tocha, b'chol makom shiyerech ba'eretzahi. What this means is that how is Avram going to be recognized when he goes around from community to community? He's not going to be a shnara. What's he going to be? As a Nisi Elohim atah b'tochenu. He'll be recognized amongst all of the occupants of the land as a distinguished minister. And as a result, he'll be able to conduct himself somewhat differently than if he had to struggle. People will come and provides, if he doesn't come in for and support him, feed him, so on and so forth. So there are several possibilities as to what this particular phrase means, and it's just interesting how Ramban says it could be either a reshut or a mitzvah. Pick your choice. Pick your choice.
So why does he feel he has to pay Ephraim?
That was exactly one of the nisyonot. That's exactly which the Rabbeinu Yonah uses against the Rambam. Mm. I remember I told you to find a list of what constitutes the 10 tests that Avram had to go through?
Yes, you would have sent them to me. I
have. That's cheating. But okay, your son is a good source. A very good source. So Rambam says that the 10th and final source was Akedat Yitzchak. After the Akedah, God knew, as he says, Ata Yadati, what? Ki Yirei Elohim Ata. I know that you're a God-fearing, but lo chasachta esbinchas yichidecha mimeni. Nothing to worry about. So Rabbeinu Yoina asks, why did he have such a difficult time getting a piece of land in the very next parsha to find a burial place for Sarah? Therefore Rabbeinu Yoina says, no. The Akedah was test number 9. Number 10 was whether or not Avram would burcha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hey Rabbeinu Shalom, you promised me the land, the whole land. Now I want to bury my wife and they're charging me 400 silver pieces. What's going on here? So the Rabbeinu Yoina says that the 10th and final Nisayon of Avraham was burial of Sarah, not Akedas Yitzchak. That's exactly the proof. Exactly the proof which he uses.
How many people were with Avraham at this point?
We have no idea. Text, nor the Midrash tells us, all it says, as we read at the beginning of Parsha, Ve'et ha-nefesh asher asu b'charan. He had flocks of people traveling with him. We don't know how many. No idea.
But had they accepted that there was only one God?
That's what it means. Asu b'charan means that he convinced them that monotheism is the way of the way, to the land. Yeah. Yes.
He promises it to Abraham. Theoretically, the Jewish people inherited it, but they didn't inherit the protection.
Oh. Who said they didn't inherit the protection?
We're not protected by Hashem.
We did a lot of bad things.
Okay. So I don't want to give you the answer that some say is the answer. That's abundantly evident that we don't deserve it. We're sinners. Chas v'shalom to say that. But anyhow, that's what they'll say. I'd rather answer, ich versteh das nicht. I don't know. Can't tell you that. But, everything has to be looked at relatively. Relatively. Have you been in Israel recently? Okay. So if you've been in Israel recently, you will see, despite the fact that the people are afraid of it, people walk on the street like as if nothing happened. People go on their businesses. They go to learn. There are great concerts taking place. Great concerts take place. Right? People still go to the Kotel to daven. There are some people who are afraid. I'm not saying no. But the average citizen is walking around, you know, pretty safe and secure. Pretty safe and secure because of tzava. That's with the assistance of we say it every time we say the Mishaberach for Tzahal. So, relatively speaking, it is a time that Am Yisrael has lived with safety and security more so than any other generation that we can think of. Anything to think of. And Halavai Vaita. Continue next to Vach. With Amraphel, which is another interesting story, which the Torah tells us for what reason. We'll see the Ramban. You're welcome.